Hello and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash Ketchum's Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up. Here with Meme to talk Peacemaker finale, a little bit about Gen V, a little bit about Invincible, mostly about Peacemaker, because that shit was a thing that we'll talk about. And it is a thing that leads to the wider story of the DCU, which is something that I know I've been really into lately, and I think very much something that gets us into the superhero world again, which I don't know if Marvel has been capturing that. And I think you probably
been a long time since I felt this way about a superhero series, that's for sure.
Yeah, so we'll get into it. But the other superhero series that just released a teaser that you told me about, I didn't even like realize the day that it came out, and I've been really bad about that. Fallout is another thing that someone told me about, and I was like 3 weeks behind. That comes out in December. Like, everything comes in December after this. But let's talk Invincible. So they released a season 4 teaser in the very much in the same vein that they do every year, which is Mark's in a diner and he's talking with another character in a very meta fashion. But this time it was vastly different. There was a different character. We got Adam Eve. And then we have the diner that is completely destroyed after the events of season 3, and a really rotten looking burger.
Like the whole city is leveled. Yeah.
Yeah. And a really rotten burger that Mark just desperately wants to eat the entire time. and so I thought there wasn't a whole lot there. Just like, I feel like there's never really a whole lot with these like
very
teasers.
Minor just, teaser.
I think one of the big teasers was the big thing was March 2026, which I'm not surprised by it. I'm happy with it. What's your thoughts, Brandon?
I mean, I guess I was kind of surprised just because I had no idea when it was coming out. Kind of fell into the back of my mind for a little bit. So just to see that pop up on YouTube yesterday and be like, oh, and then March 2026, I mean, that's not too far away. So. It seems like things keep coming out, which is nice. Gives us those in between times between the other shows.
No, very much so. I guess I'm not surprised by it because I know that you said you were surprised. I wasn't surprised because season 2 came out in 2023 or 2024. Season 3 comes out in 2025, and they talked about how they want to do it a year by year by year, but it's a really difficult thing. And they only missed the year mark by a month. So March 2026, I was like, all right, it's not February. It's not like as soon as it was last year, but March 2026, I'll take it. I'm happy for it. Did you notice the character that they teased? Did you remember seeing him?
The Viltrumite?
Yeah,
that's Thrag or whatever, right?
Thrag boss. I always called him Throg. Apparently what's in my head isn't canon.
You've been proven wrong quite a bit, especially in this show. So
Angstrom, like Evie, Levy. There was another character too that was just very much like, I'm not sure. But yeah, other things I picked up on, they were talking about the fights. How like, hey, you never win a fight. And like Mark was very cocky this time. Like, I feel like he was even like more cockier than usual. Like, he was very much like, I have fans, people like me type of thing. I'm like, okay, he felt a little out of character, but I mean, I feel like you have to be super confident about yourself and a little cocky when you are meta, because he like Deadpool in that regard. The thing that he said is like, maybe I'll win all the fights, because Adam was like, maybe I'll win a fight, maybe I'll win all the fights. I think I remember a couple of his fights, and I know what's to come. So it's an interesting like little joke there, and I won't say any more.
Don't spoil anything.
Did you pause the screen to read the script that they posted?
No, I didn't go that hard into it. I saw it flash by, but
I did. They don't. It is like I'm pretty sure this is a script of the scene, but it doesn't really reveal anything. It's all about how he has like a cast on his arm after the conquest fight. And then he was fighting like he was up in the Earth atmosphere and he just had a big thought, and then he looked down on Earth and something exploded, so he went down to Earth, and that was like the basis of it. I'm like, okay, so
okay, something.
They were talking about something. I think I have an idea what it is. I think that I know what big moment it is, but there's nothing in there that really like describes it. So unless you like read the comic and you remember verbatim what that scene is, which I think I have a cool idea, but I'm not sure. Okay. It could be it's so generic. It could be many, many different things. I'm guessing it's episode one, and it could be a major thing, or it could be another small minor thing that's this show only. So who knows? Maybe it's the demon dude. I'm like forgetting his name.
Oh yeah, the parts that they added in. What is it? What is his name? Oh man, you brought him up.
I did. But
is it something with a D?
Damien Hellstorm or something?
Something like
demon
that.
Demon dude. All right. Okay. But yeah, that's the Invincible Damien season Darkblood. 4 coming up. Yeah, okay, good. Yes, Darkblood. Mm. That sounds right. Season 4 coming out March 2026. We're excited for it. We're going to take a quick break and then get into Peacemaker. All right, let's get into Peacemaker. And before, usually we get into this, we kind of go through what happened, and then we get into like the questions, and then we talk about like the ratings. I'm going to switch it up because I'm really curious what you think about this. And the question is, because I think this is what everyone was talking about after Peacemaker, was not necessarily this question, but did you like the finale?
Watching it, especially, I think I was a little conflicted while I was watching it, just because of like the direction that it went and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I did not have a lot of like the finale feeling. I guess it was more of like an epilogue, kind of. I guess, but after like the main story wrapped up so fast, I guess to just like have this hour long epilogue was kind of weird, a little jarring.
Yeah. I kind of have the same feeling where I feel like the hype of the show was a lot more, like, I thought this was like a James Gunn finale that I think he was really excited for. And I think for the things that he really likes to put into his work, these are things that like he was really about. So when he was talking about it, he was like, yeah, this could be great. There's a really cool moment. There's a really big cameo that I'm really excited for. But like the things that he was excited to show us wasn't what the casual audience likes. And I kind of just realized the casual audience loves explosive plot. They love an explosive finale, which last episode, which we still have to talk about, which is we're two episodes behind, was more like a finale. Whereas like this was more like an epilogue, but in the character wise, it was a lot like the finale. And so I was disappointed because I thought like the hype was there, so I was expecting a lot more of a explosive finale. Mm-hmm. So I was disappointed in that regard. But then when I watched it a second time, because Sapphire, she ended up falling asleep, so I watched it again with her, and I will say that I liked it a lot more the second time around.
Mm-hmm.
I think character-wise, character moments, this show is elite. And I think that's the kind of the point. I don't really remember the plot of season one. When I was rewatching it, I forgot about the body snatching storyline. I thought about forgot about the butterflies. I forgot about the cow at the end of season one, which is the explosive finale. I remember the character moments where they're, you know, they turn from their shitty selves into slightly better versions of themselves. And that's what the season was, is taking that like the progress from season one and moving them, you know, to where they ended up in season two. Yeah. And I thought like, I was very pleased in that regard. And I think that's the point of Peacemaker, which is the characters. The point of Peacemaker is about the characters, this group, the 11th Street Kids, and it's about their evolution. And I thought this episode, the finale, did a really great job in doing so. And I think like plot wise, we did get a lot of plot. But the plot that we got wasn't in a sense of finale. It was a transition. And I think that leaves a lot of people confused and disappointed that it was a transition. And like, no, the finale is going to be the Man of Tomorrow. Like, that's the finale that we're waiting for. And this episode, this season two finale, was more or less a transition into that story rather than the finale itself, which is disappointing in a lot of ways. But for me, I think, like, I got what I wanted story-wise, at least from the characters. But, yeah, so you kind of feel something similar?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Like, when I was watching, I watched it with my cousin and my dad at the same time. We've been watching the whole season. And kind of during it, my cousin was like, what is this? I remember him saying that. Like, what are we watching right now? And I felt that during watching it. But, like, as it kept going, I just kind of like, okay. You know, I see what he's going for here. And it's definitely not what I was expecting, but I don't think it was bad by any means. It was different.
Yeah. All right. So let's go through a little bit of what happened. We're going to go through the last two episodes. Episode 7, like a Keith in the Night, and then episode 8, Full Nelson, which I don't necessarily get the reference. So if you get it, please explain it to me. It feels right, though. So the beginning episode, Chris and Harcourt, you know, Harcourt's just like, how'd you miss the giant Nazi mural? And, you know, like, how'd you miss the flags? Like, oh, they're folded up. Like, how'd you miss the mural? Okay, I don't know how I missed that.
Yeah. Just giant Hitler mural.
I love it how it's just like, you know, like, the first comment's like, hey, we'll get Chris the benefit of the doubt. Like, this folded, you know, he lives it from that world. And we talked about how, like, in our small town world, like, if we jumped into a Nazi planet, it wouldn't initially feel off just because that's kind of our surroundings in a more rural area. But I don't think any of us miss the Nazi flags or the giant Mein Kampf Nazi mural. Yeah.
On everyone's table, on everyone's desk.
So they run off. They do this big fight scene. Chris breaks up with universe's version of Harcourt. Yeah. Yeah, and she's like, what do you mean you're breaking up with me? Well, I mean, after I do this, and they go escape. Augie and Keith both come to their rescue, surprisingly. They're all murdering cops.
A bunch of cops, yeah.
And you're just like, wait a second, I thought they were the good guys. Like, it was very like, confusing. You're just like, all right. In the meantime, Adebayo is running away. That's when, you know, Keith gets the call where Zaki's like, this is more important than what you're doing. And he's like, but Dad, there's a black. He didn't say that outright, but that's kind of like the feeling that he gets, where I think Dad's just like, he's like, fuck off with that. Come on. She runs into a backyard, jumps into a swimming pool. Everybody else jumps into a swimming pool. And the judo master's there to save her by shocking all the Nazis in the swimming pool, which is a fun moment. But I'm the entire time, I'm like, why the fuck are they not just going around?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of moments here that I just like, why are you guys being stupid? But no, then it's like, well, they are. There's a lot of stupid characters in this show, but I'm like, okay, we got to move the plot along. But I'm like, that's what it feels like. That's one of my few criticisms, that there's a lot of like dumb character moments where you're like, you didn't have to die there. If you know, you would have just been smart about it. Maybe don't swim into the pool. Maybe just run to the other side. It's a lot more faster, a little bit more efficient. And at least like you had a crowd of 20 people. Like you don't all just take the same path. Like that's like the dumbest way. You go, you cut them off. Anyway, that's my little spiel on that. So Judah Master saves Adebayo. They have a heart-to-heart moment. They go to save, go to the dimension. They meet up with both vigilantes.
That scene was the best scene in the whole series.
It was. I still love the Freddy Stroma just moment. Like, he's just like about to kill him and just his face turn. No fucking way. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, are you kidding me, dude? Spider-Man meme.
I could watch a vigilante. She's like just two vigilantes like teaming up together to kill people. It's fun. There's the moment where they're interviewing Chris kind of just tells them everything. Augie reveals that he's not a Nazi, still probably not a good dude, but like not a Nazi. He's very much against the ways. And Keith is like, no, he killed our brother. Like we can't just let him go for free. You know, like there must be something, you know, and Augie just reveals himself to be the very opposite of the dad that like he's the dad.
Best reveal.
Yeah. Like he's the dad that Chris always wanted.
You know? He's actually a good guy.
Yeah, like in the heart, I would say. It's hard to say that he's a good guy,
but compared to
killed a bunch of people,
this weird morally gray world that James Gunn has created.
Morally gray.
I mean
it is, but like,
I mean, Peacemaker is our hero, and how many people has he killed?
Yeah, I mean, he is morally gray. He's more anti-hero slash villain.
Yeah, everyone.
But I'm like, you said the world. And I'm like, I don't know if you know, Earth X Nazi world is morally gray. I think that's just black.
No,
ironically.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean it like that. I meant like the whole the tone of the show. Like nobody is just like a knight in shining armor in this show. Nobody is like perfectly flawless. There's a reason why Superman isn't in the show.
I love the fact that like Harcourt calls him a Nazi, and that's like he's like, how dare you? How dare you call me that? Like, you know, if your world is so good and you're still fighting injustice in a good world, like good on you. But like I do what I can. I fight the people in front of me, and I hope God, you know, forgives me at the end of the day type of speech. Which like I think is interesting that God's still very much a part of like his culture and his like his belief. Because I'm pretty sure, like, that's a part of it from the, you know, regular Earth Nazi Augie. It's interesting. But as soon as he said that, though, what was your thought when you saw Vigilante in the window?
Oh, damn. It was just damn. Yeah.
That's my thought.
He just goes like, right into it. Fuck. Just stabs the shit out of his neck. He likes killing Peacemaker's dad in front of him.
He really does. He wanted that kill.
He's done it twice, yeah.
Do you think that was our Vigilante or Earth-X Vigilante?
I think it was our Vigilante.
Oh, yeah, I think it was. Cause
yeah.
I don't remember if they specifically...
Yeah, I don't know if they specifically like said it, but I definitely think it was. I mean, he's the one that would do that, right?
I think it was, because I was asking that question the second time I watched it, and I think I found the answer. I was able to tell them apart. They didn't do any switcheroo that people thought they did. And like, no, I know for a fact that there wasn't a switcheroo, which
and,
they could
and nobody
have.
Died.
A moment.
Like you
and
thought.
Nobody died. No. So they Augie dies. Keith gets jumped across and basically just like he gets jumped.
Horrific. Yeah, they all start
and they're all just
stabbing him.
Oh, and then like. But I love the moment of Peacemaker just screaming. I thought, like, kudos to fucking John Cena. Mm-hmm. It was a really good moment because he was just breaking. Like, his family was killing the family that he always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
Right in front of him.
Yeah, and so I thought, like, him breaking and stop. I thought the Harcourt scene of, like, him killing Keith or almost killing Keith, I think originally she kills him. But I think... James Gunn kind of talked about in that moment where he was going to have him just die there, but thought him being alive was more interesting. But I thought the decision for Harcourt to kill him prior to this finale was interesting. Cause I think that was like her way of showing the audience that she loves Chris. That it's like,
trying to protect him.
I know he loves you and wants you, but like I know that you're going to kill him, and like you'll use whatever you can to come back to hurt him. So I'm going to kill you because, you know, I love him. Wasn't able to. Vigilante, I don't think it's the job done, and they run back. And then that's where Chris, you know, gives the quantum unfolding chamber door. Or what I'm pretty sure is a boom tube of some degree.
Some sort of like more advanced version of it, it seems like.
Yeah. And then he gives it to Rick Flag. He goes to jail and everybody else is pretty much, you know, back to normal. He sacrifices himself for the betterment of the group. And that is the end of like a Keith in the Night. Going to Full Nelson, episode 8. Because we're doing both episodes for those who either didn't pay attention in that moment that we were talking about that, or those who just skip ahead. So going through Full Nelson, it starts out with Chris and Harcourt the night on the boat, which ends in a kiss. I was thinking they went full into it. That was my thought process. But it ends with them having a kiss. And it really just like seems a
more
like
a romantic thing. Less like, because what I was imagining was more like a drunken sex night or something.
That's what
like
I
that.
Thought.
It was more of like an actual like date and romantic and stuff like that. So I guess it makes more sense that he would be so.
Yeah, confused.
Yeah.
It was like one of those moments where I feel like they should have teased like her romantic feelings for Rick Flagg Jr. in the moment. But I do like keeping that fresh in mind. This scene makes sense completely. I think she was starting to fall for Chris. I think, you know, Chris, you know, it was obvious about his feelings for her. I think she, in a lot of those moments throughout the season, there was like just moments where she really likes the idea of her and Peacemaker. She likes the idea of like Chris and her, but for obvious reasons with the death of Rick Flagg Jr., she's very conflicted. And this kiss, she, you know, it was either going to pull them together or break them apart. And that's what she's just like, I can't do this. So we get to see that scene. We get to understand the boat scene. And that's the very first scene. And then open up with Oh Lord.
Hmm.
You ever notice in the opening scene that the lights in the background, they don't start the dancing until those lights are done and then they come back?
I did notice that there was more of a delay in this episode. It seemed like they stood there for a little while in the last one.
Before they noticed that before they start dancing, the lights are synchronized and they don't like they all go away before he starts dancing, and then it comes back into the regular rotation that they have. That was just a really cool moment, and I thought whoever did it was that was smart. Present day, Chris is in prison. He's refusing to see the 11th Street kids, and then Argus is going full out investigation mode. The first door that they open is to Candyland, as they call it, on the way up there. I forget the guy's name, but the baby drunk guy, and then Fleury.
You mean Klein?
Yes, Klein.
Wow, how could you forget?
I just remember him from all the nicknames from Fleury. And I just love how he's just telling a story about how like he's with a stripper, and he's just like avidly, grossly describing the stripper, and he's just like. Yeah, he threw up on her. And that was the last like story that we learned of this guy before he gets his whole face bitten off.
By imps.
By imps. We got to see the fucking imps, like the literal fucking imps.
Mm.
And this is another moment, too. Oh, go on.
I was going to say, because I think those are the same imps that Augie and stuff was talking about before with him releasing them into the world. So it was those imps. Went and stole some sweet peppermint stick and got chased out by all those imps.
Yep, and then one came back and fucked a cereal.
Yeah.
that was the little details.
Yep.
There was another moment. This is something that Sapphire pulled out. She's like, I really hate that they didn't like creep back when they were all getting surrounded and they didn't know what they were getting surrounded by. Like they all just stood there. Wouldn't they like start running towards the door? I'm like, yeah, but plot. We don't have a plot if they're not stupid. But yeah, I would say we start getting all the different doors. So we get the candy dimension. We get the deceased dimension. We get the skull spiders screaming dimension.
Yeah.
And apparently we get a bunch of these
old horror comic or something.
Yeah. From like the 1950s. James Gunn pulled it out. Not even DC Comics, but it was a comic that DC eventually, I think, owned.
Well, yeah, like Vertigo or something like that, one of those ones.
I don't think it wasn't Vertigo, but yeah, like Vertigo. I forget what other ones, but eventually it was Harcourt who finds salvation. And this whole time, we get like this montage of all these people dying. Rick Flagg is hanging out with Luther's buddies. They're, smoking. smoking meth, or not smoking, but
that's what you were gonna say. Drinking, I was gonna smoking say cigars, doing blow.
Yeah, you know, doing blow. They're all just like, it's such a weird scene because you're just like, this doesn't feel like Rick Flag, but I think that's kind of the transformation that this was, where, you know, all of his foot soldiers, the people that he used to ride with, he's just throwing them into a blender and they're just celebrating the results without caring for the actual people who are dying. Then we get into we get back to the 11th Street kids who are like, this is fucked up. Like, this is not what I want. And we get a lot of character moments. We get Ads and Vigilante talking. She very much uses her manipulation Waller techniques against them again. Yeah. In the way of like, I'm a better friend than you. I would take on a blood curse. Why don't you take on a blood? Then she gets real. It's like, take something bad and make it good. We get Harcourt with Bordeaux, and then she's like, hey, you need to meet my friend of mine. She has ideas. I don't know what to do. And together they take the money and they build something together. And before they do that, they get Chris on their side. They bail him out.
Before you go too much further, we got to talk about the scene with Economos distracting the people while they try to get Peacemaker's location. I think that was like the best scene in almost the whole show. Just him doubling down on his attempt and turning and like talking to them and then going back and talking more. And then the post credit scene where you see that he finally gets them just to break out laughing after everything. Oh yeah, so good.
Yeah, the one person. Economist is like, he's so great. Cause I'm like, what about that sports game? Like, they didn't play.
Yeah.
Fuck you, dude.
I was talking to you. Yeah.
That sports game, right? Yeah. They won. And it was such a great game. Like, they didn't fucking play, asshole.
Yeah, it just keeps going. I love how
everybody else, like, they're so obviously being weird, but everybody else just either didn't care or was so into their own thing that, like, the distraction wasn't a distraction. They could have just done the thing and left because nobody cared.
Yep.
And it was funny.
It was very funny. I like that scene a lot. He's one of my favorite characters, if not my favorite character.
Another thing we forgot about, Eagly is very depressed that Chris was out. Mm. Chris moves out of his house, which I think was an interesting, they didn't really talk about why, but he moves out of his house and he's in a motel. And, you know, he's not like he's doing anything there that we see, but he's surrounding himself in it. And I really like the metaphor, the allegory of season 2 is that when people are depressed, they use substances to, you know, transverse into this imaginary land where they're happy. And I think like that fits. I don't know if that's what James Gunn is going for, but if it is, I think it fits really, really well. And I thought like that some made sense for Chris to go to. Like, he uses this to escape. And we don't see him using it, but he's surrounding himself in that world while he's very depressed. This is where we get the 11th Street kids coming back to him. We have Ads, and he's like, oh, fuck. You know, John, and then Harcourt is very much, you know, there. And then that's when Vigilante comes out and just tackles him and tases him.
Yeah. Well, he said, because when he came back to the house or whatever, and Economos was there, and he didn't stop him. He just like grabbed his stuff and left. He's like, he's like, you didn't tackle him? He's like, I would have tackled him. So yeah, he did tackle him. Yeah.
Oh, and then tases him. And I love the taser. It keeps coming back. And then that's when they have that conversation. And that's when, you know, Ads does her, basically her manipulation technique, but she's also being like, you know,
honest about it too.
You change people. Like, you were a piece of shit. You were listening to everybody else, and that's when things got wrong. I also love that Peacemaker's an idiot. And he's like, oh, I'm cursed. I'm the angel of death. And it's like, you would be an idiot who would think that. And I love how she's like, yeah, people die when you don't listen to yourself. You listen to other people. Your brother died because you listened to your dad. You knew not to go into Earth X, so that, and you went there and you
killed Rick Flag Jr. because Waller told you to.
Exactly. Thank you. I'm like, I know I'm forgetting one. That's the big one. Like, you're killing people because you're listening to other people. You're not listening to yourself. And just like that moment of like, you touch people, you touched me. Like I love you. You love
An
me. I know
eagle
that.
hug a human.
Yeah. Miracles. Like, you have Eagly. You have Vigilante, who's like your little brother. Like, you're Keith to his Chris. And like, just like this moment. And then they finally do something good together. I knew once they started like creating a team, I was like, are they fucking doing Checkmate? Because I was like, I knew Argus and Checkmate. They're very similar. They're very much intact. Waller works with both of them. But yeah, I was like, are they doing Checkmate? And then she's wearing the black. I'm like, they gotta be doing Checkmate at this. And then they are Checkmate, making the world better. It was interesting who was part of that group.
Good old
You have
Fleury.
Judo. You have Fleury, you have Judo Master, which is and isn't surprising. That moment with ads where they're, just that heart to
Playing
heart.
Scrabble.
Yeah. Scrabble.
Scrabble.
Say it
Yeah,
right.
you're right. Sorry, my
Say
bad.
it
Scrabble.
right. You have Ben, how are they playing Scrabble, by the way?
What do you mean?
Because if Scrabble is not Scrabble, it's Scrobble, then how, like, you gotta be spelling every word wrong, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you could either just play with English words, or it might just be like non-English words that are wrong, like brand names and stuff like that. Because we only saw like Cheerios and Scrabble and stuff like that, but not,
I
they
would
still
have.
spoke normal. It wasn't like they were talking weird or like not speaking English.
Maybe. I would assume that they're like all these different words are just spelled. Maybe they're like spelled correctly and like all the rules, apply to every single word.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wouldn't matter. You could play Scrabble right now and make up your own words and it'd still work as long as you both
Fair
agreed
enough.
on it.
Fair enough. They're probably playing Scrabble, but
Using the Scrabble
Scrabble.
tiles. Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting way off topic here.
You
So yeah,
started
so Checkmate's a thing. We have Fleury, we have Bordeaux, we have Judo Master, and then of course Peacemaker, Vigilante, and the rest of the 11th Street kids who are there. Big moment for them. I really like that moment where they're like, F everything else. Like, we're a team. Let's become a team. And then of course we get the final end scene.
One last note to end it on.
Peacemaker gets disappeared by Rick Flag, and Argus gets put into Salvation and pretty much is like, hey, you volunteered for this. Here's your signature. I don't remember him signing a random thing, but like the way that Chris was just like, ah, oh, I did do that. I don't remember him signing anything. I don't remember that
Yeah.
moment.
Maybe when he got arrested the first time.
Maybe.
Or something. Or they're just lying and just
Or was it
malicious
the
and they got
scene where
him.
he's just like, sign off here if you don't want to see your friends? That's the only time
Maybe.
I remember
Oh,
someone
that
like
might
taking
be
a piece
it.
of paper.
Yeah. That might be it, actually. Kind of a dirty trick.
Yeah.
Because he won't see his
And
friends anymore.
yeah. Yep. So he gets put in Salvation. He does one last dive. Rick Flag Sr. is just like, this is for Ricky, you son of a bit, or you piece of shit. And then, like, he says piece of shit the same way that Lex says it. And it kind of like reveals like, okay, he very much
He's in
is
bed
in
with him.
Alexis. Yeah. Which I think makes sense, but we'll talk about it. So that's what happened. And now I got some questions, which is the next segment. It's not five questions to appease Michael because I went over. There's way too many more questions than that. I don't know if you have any, but I have a few.
What do you
Okay,
got?
I'll start. So Harcourt found Salvation. Her, Bordeaux, and was it? I don't remember her name, but I remember her code name is Titties. I think she was the third
Yeah, that's right.
person.
Yeah.
I want to mention one little thing about that. When they're in the candy world, in the candy land, Harcourt looks and turns to to Titties and says, "Titties, pull us out." And this is gonna be my first question. Is Fleury right with calling people obnoxious names based on their looks? Because Harcourt turns, it's like, "Titties, pull us." And I'm just like, wait a second. I caught this the second time around. I'm like, is he right? In the heat of the moment, you just call them what you remember?
I don't know. You know, it's funny, because if you'd seen Always Sunny in Philadelphia, there's an episode that is, like, kind of all about that exact question, where Charlie saves Mac, or no, Frank saves Mac by yelling, "Look out, you slur word," so he knows he's talking to him, and he moves out of the way, and then he tries to sue him for hate speech, but he's like, "But I saved your life." It was just, and very funny, interesting episode, but that's like that exact question that you just said. Like, in a scenario like that, is it appropriate? And, but I'm not the moral judge on that.
I will say this, like, when it comes to, like, psychology behind it, the first thing you know about a person is their looks. That's the first thing you notice, and you notice what's different. So if you're a white person, you notice that someone's black, you notice that someone's, you know, Middle Eastern or Latino with Latina, you recognize those things, you recognize the hair. So there is, like, this weird, like, truth behind physical features being, like, the first thing you recognize. And if you call it out, like, you know, if someone yelled ponytail to me because I have a ponytail now, I would probably be conscious of it rather than if someone's like, "Hey, 20 or "Hey, Jaguars fan," or "Hey, you know, anything else, other features." Like, you would notice, like, the most obvious one.
Not that people yell titties, bald guy, I turn around.
Yo, Heisenberg, what the fuck? Yeah, wear a hat on top of it.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, that was literally my last question, but I thought it was, like, a funny moment. Hardcore from Salvation, meaning she should know where that is, and I wonder if that's going to come into play at all.
Yeah, if they can somehow get back into the unfolding chamber, but
quantum unfolding chamber.
Yeah, but they did. The guy that, like, the scientist guy that works for Lex said that he was able to, like, they condense it so that it's just, like, one doorway straight to Salvation instead of having to go through the unfolding chamber. So depending on how they did that, you might not even have access to, or, like, she might not be able to access the actual chamber, but she wouldn't need to at that point. So I'm sure it might be relevant.
Might be. Speaking of the quantum unfolding chamber, is this a boom tube or, like, a new god invention in disguise?
I could see it being, like, more of, like, a new god type thing, just because like how they compared it to, because I would say what they were using in Superman, those were boom tubes. That is like, in my opinion, like the definition of a boom tube, like dangerous,
Young Justice, quick, like one time use.
Yeah. Whereas something like this is like, even like the scientist guy was just like so much more advanced and stable and stuff like that, to where like they have no idea how it works. So I would assume that it's some sort of thing. And it does also kind of go along with another theory that I have. Well, or that the internet has about what Salvation is, the planet.
Oh,
Salvation.
I was going to talk about it.
Yeah. That it's
speak.
Dark,
that's where
dark
I was going.
Side's like training planet that he sends his parademons to train and fight these whatever monsters and stuff that are there.
This is the new gods world. Like, the new gods rule this version of Earth, potentially. I don't know. But it's Salvation. So they rule Salvation. The other rumor is that Peacemaker is going to be Orion. And I don't know if I like it, but I'm like, I could see it.
I don't even really know that much about Orion. I know I've, like, heard the character name, but I don't know anything about him.
I know a little bit about him. I read Mr. Miracle, Tom King's run, and I think they're doing an animated version on that exact that run. James Gunn is a huge Tom King fan. So yeah, as someone who's read a lot and has a lot of his comics, one on the wall currently, Supergirl, which is another James Gunn run that's being turned into a movie, or Tom King run that's turned into a movie, definitely something that I'm excited for. But Salvation, I know they talked about there's a thing called Salvation Run, which is where Lex and Joker kind of were against each other. And then there's a new Checkmate run that's from, I think, is it Bendis? Forget who wrote it. But it seems like their status quo is really similar to that comic. And that those who were part of that Checkmate is interesting characters. So Flurry, Tim Meadows' character. Mm-hmm. We've talked about a little bit of who he is.
We think he might be.
Yeah, so I know we talked about Martian Manhunter, and we talked about Clayface. I'm going to say I don't think he's Clayface. I think that one's ruled off. We have the actor who's going to play it.
That makes sense
we
to
have,
me.
Yeah, and I feel like he would have been revealed at this moment if he was Clayface. But I'm trying to think who he is, and based on, I mean, like...
The Martian Manhunter fits even more with him, like, turning on Argus and trying to, like, be a better person.
It does. But I also have a couple other ones. So okay. Based on the Checkmate run, now that he's Checkmate, I think that's where we kind of look towards. So there's two characters that kind of stood out of a possibility. I don't know much about them. I haven't really looked into them that much. One is the Bone. Checkmate character. I don't know who he is, but feels right up Flurry's alley. From the picture I looked at, the very little I looked at, he's just like, he has a bone as his, like, face. The other one that I think he might be, but I don't know how it works, and I don't know much about this character, but he's a huge character, and that's the Question.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about the Question. Does he not have a face, or is he wearing a mask that gets rid of his face?
I feel like both are accurate in some, depending on
what character it is, or like, yeah, I could see that.
I took it as he doesn't have a face.
I've seen him in a lot of random things, yeah, but I've never really, like, seen enough of him, yeah, to, like, really feel like I know anything about the character. I just know he exists.
I never read a comic with him, so, but I, like, same. I know of the character, but I don't know much about him. Mm. I haven't been familiar with him. So, yeah, there's just, like, I'm, like, Flurry seems like he's not just a random character. He feels like he needs to be something more, because who does 300 auditions to try to get this character right for a new character?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, yeah. He's comedic.
Mm-hmm.
He's really obnoxious. He's very, I don't know what else to say. Like,
blunt.
Blunt? Crude?
Crude, maybe. Lacking just like social cues and stuff like that. Just like doesn't understand social cues. That's what made you lean more towards like Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, but he seems way too crude to be Manhunter. But like it makes sense, but it also feels very bland. I don't know. Like the idea of him being like an Argus agent, it's like, okay, that's been done before. We've watched Supergirl.
Hmm.
You know, like that's who Martian Manhunter was. So I don't know. I feel like the Bone is the right answer, but it feels too small. But that is up James Gunn's alley.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out in Checkmate season one.
I don't know. We'll talk about it. What's next. Or I guess that's one of my questions: is what do we expect from Checkmate? So, you know, or let's just get into it. Let's just get into the future of DCU. So James Gunn has talked about this, which projects are going to be in Salvation, like lead and be a part of Salvation. Because Man of Tomorrow is kind of the finale of it. Like, that's what deals with it. But we have Lanterns is the next project that's supposed to come early 2026. And he says that Salvation is not a huge part of it, but it's a part of it. I'm assuming we're going to get stories about it and it's going to be in the background, or they're going to take characters to Salvation and Red Flag's going to be there. Supergirl, Clayface, or the other major projects, I don't think he said anything about them, and I don't know how they lead into Salvation. Maybe Supergirl.
I mean, what if Clayface was just like a Salvation story the whole time and he's like gets thrown to Salvation? I mean, it would be somebody that Rick Flag might have a little bit of a vendetta against after getting his back broken by him.
Yeah, fair. Or maybe that's the ending scene. He gets thrown into it.
Salvation.
Yeah. Mike Flanagan wrote Clayface, something Sapphire is a huge fan of Mike Flanagan, so I think this is one of those movies that...
He's the guy that did The Black Phone, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and The Black Phone 2, that's coming out soon. I was kind of mid on that movie. Didn't live up to the hype to me. Oh. I assume that's why Sapphire was a fan, was because of the horror stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Huge horror fan. Creatures Commando Season 2. That's going to be a huge Salvation story.
That was confirmed?
Yes. Rick Flagg confirmed. James Gunn confirmed it in July. And then Man of Tomorrow, obviously, because this is what's setting up. So, out of all those projects, which one are you most looking forward to now after Peacemaker?
I mean, I don't know if my hype has changed that much. I think I'm still looking forward to Supergirl quite a bit. And then I guess now the next Superman after that. Not that I'm not looking forward to Clayface and Lanterns. I'm pretty excited about Lanterns just to see what it's all about and how James Gunn handles that side, because it's such a big part of the DC universe, the Lanterns and the whole their whole story, plus all of the tons of different Lanterns out there and enemies. They're almost their own X-Men type story in DC in that sense. They're
Guardians,
have their own world. Yeah. So I'm curious about that, but I'm definitely more hyped still for, I think, Supergirl.
I think if they're all to come out at the same time, I'm probably most excited for Man of Tomorrow. Supergirl is definitely probably
just so much further down the road now.
It is. Supergirl might be up there, but I think because Lanterns is probably next, that's the one. And now that I know for a fact that they're going to talk about Salvation a little bit in there, or it's going to be a part of the story, I'm a lot more excited for Lanterns now. I think that's where I'm at. All right. If you have a question, please just throw it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to just finish up some of the ones that we have. That the alien in the QUC was never revealed. Do you think this is just a random throwaway alien, or do you think this is this alien has any importance? Is this alien
at this point
a Martian?
I think it might just be a random throwaway. Maybe it'll turn out somewhere down the line that it was a Martian or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it'll be largely irrelevant, is what I'm assuming. It was just kind of one of those James Gunn things, I feel like, that's just kind of thrown in there to make people think and just be interesting.
Are we disappointed by it, or is it we just have to expect that not everything can be a huge...
Yeah, not everything is going to be a huge reveal all the time, or be something. And I think that might be part of our superhero brains at this point, especially because Marvel conditioned us so hard to look at everything and wonder about everything. And sometimes, a cigar is just a cigar kind of thing.
Yeah. Sometimes an alien burning other random rodents is just the alien burning random rodents. Burning
other... Yep. Yeah. He was in it to give Peacemaker a place to dispose of Earth X Peacemaker.
I mean, that makes sense. From a writing standpoint, it makes sense. Okay, I'm trying to think what other ones we have. Keith is coming back, right? I think we already asked this. Keith is coming back, and Harker should have killed him. I think we talked about that.
Yeah, I feel like it might be a long time before we see him, though. I kind of hope it's a long time. I don't know if it needs
season
to be
three.
An immediate thing. Yeah, or season four.
Yeah, if we get a Peacemaker season 3, because it's not confirmed. James Gunn said that we don't expect it. I kind of do expect it.
I think
even if he's not planning on it right now.
I could definitely see it. Yeah, I could see it just being that he's just messing with us and he's just going to change the name to Checkmate, and it'll just be Checkmate too. Season 1. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
But I assume he's coming back. I don't think he.
Yeah.
I don't know if it sounds like he doesn't have a plan for him yet, but he's just I made the decision to keep him back because it's the more interesting decision. And I agree with it. And he doesn't need to have a plan right now. I think his idea is let's get Salvation storyline done and then we'll see where we go from there. Which means, all right, weird production issues aside, technical issues, back to Peacemaker. All right, I have one big question before we get into ratings and we get into the NBC and all that type of things. I don't know which one to ask first, but but I'll ask this one first. Is there a character moment that you're disappointed in? Because it seems like we got a lot of character moments in this finale, a lot of character moments in this season in general. And is there one character moment or character turn that you are potentially disappointed in?
I think there's really only one that comes to mind, and I'm just kind of conflicted about how I feel about the whole thing, and that's Rick Flag.
That's the one that I have.
Because he was like after Creature Commandos, like I get, you know, whatever, but like to go from that to this, it feels like two different characters. Like, it doesn't feel like the turn that it was or supposed to be, I feel like.
I think on paper it makes sense. I think the turn on paper makes complete sense, right? He doesn't like Peacemaker because he killed his son. Makes sense. He doesn't like metahumans because if you think about it, in Creatures Commandos, what happened? He falls for the villain, right? He falls for the girl. He does fall for people. That's been a very consistent thing he's done. He fell for the girl, and what happened to the girl? The girl got killed by a metahuman. Well, corpse, but we're going to put
yeah.
She's in the cat. Like, if Bordeaux is in the category of metahuman because she's a cyborg. I would assume that the bride is a metahuman. Just because based on anyone with powers. Yeah, anyone who has powers is a metahuman. So, like, to me, it makes sense, but we don't have a Rick Flag senior protagonist, like, show. Because Creature Commandos felt that way, but I think really the bride and the that whole crew that's not Rick Flag was more of the, you know, main protagonist. He just kind of felt like that initially. That being said, we don't see his perspective a whole lot. He's kind of always the side character of everybody else's stories. In Superman, he was just kind of the pawn that, you know, like, he really could have been any other character. He didn't have to be Rick Flag Sr. He just was kind of there. There's just established the connection to Lex. And then in this show, he's the antagonist. He's the guy in charge. He was always the grunts. Now he's in charge. And he has this personal vendetta, this personal thing that he's trying to do with Chris, trying to get the portal. And it seems like he has a specific purpose in mind, which is now salvation. But the question is it his or is it Lex's? Because it really seems like it's Lex working through Rick Flag. Like, he looks like he's trying to accomplish Lex's goal of getting the metahumans out. But it also makes sense that, like, he would hate metahumans, but it's just not shown to us in this season. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't really see personal Rick Flag moments. But he is very vulnerable. He's very influenced. But yeah.
Yeah, that's really the only one that I really kind of stuck with me a little bit.
It's just weird. It feels like it should be a lot better. Like, it feels like this is one of those, it makes sense on paper. It probably makes sense in James Gunn's head. But I think he messed up here. I think he missed on throwing some extra scenes to really show his villain, to become a villain. Which is kind of disappointing, because James Gunn usually doesn't miss on these. Yeah, but I will say,
kind of like that ending montage of them drinking and laughing and partying while everyone else was dying.
I will say, we'll go into the ratings with this too, because I think this is kind of getting into my ratings. I think James Gunn talked about how he wrote Creatures Commando season 1, then he wrote Man of Steel, then he wrote Peacemaker season 2. And he talked about how he was on vacation, he was writing this show, and he was just like, he was really stressed, but he had to write it. And I think we're seeing him crack a little bit under the pressure. And I think we're seeing it in these later episodes. Just dumb character moments. Characters doing dumb things for the sake of the plot. And I think Rick Flag Sr. is one of those things that in his head, it makes sense. And I think, like, if you look at it on paper, it makes sense. But he just didn't do enough to really enhance the idea of him turning into a villain. Like, it feels like Anakin Skywalker from the prequels.
A little bit, yeah. Just like a sudden turn, and like, now he's just a bad guy.
Like, it's there, but it's like, okay, but, like, you could have done more to make it more believable. Mm-hmm. Also, one thing to note too, the timing of the series, because they said it was 1 month. I think like the Secretary of Defense guy, I forget the actor who plays him, but really well known. Not well known enough, I guess. That's on me.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So like the guy's just like, you know, a month ago you were, you know, saying Lux was awful and you were against his idea, but now you're against his idea. And now you're saying the exact same words of him to me. And now, and he's just like, well, he's brilliant. He's the most brilliant guy in the world. Why don't we use his opinions and use his judgment for this? And it's like, I mean, I guess, but also like, really, dude? Like,
yeah,
you turned that quickly, and he does. Maybe he's having sex with Lex Luthor. Who knows?
They have a secret rendezvous.
I mean, it would make sense. It seems like anyone he has sex with, he's just like, he's easily influenced by. So, yeah. Let's get into the ratings. Where are you at with this show?
Like for the whole season?
Yeah, whole season.
I think I still got to give it like a 4+.
4+?
Yep.
So the season finale, I give it a 4-. I think
I'm a little lower on the season finale, but I think the rest of the season just makes up for it a bit.
So I give it a solid 4. I thought the character moments are elite, but I thought like this is a transitional season, and it wasn't like, I think it was too transitional to be elite, but I think that, like, there's some great moments, and maybe I'll come back and I'll think it's a 4+ because season 1 is a 4+ for me, 5- like territory. And I think this show is mostly operating in that area. I just think there's just some moments, some character moments that just really seems like James Gunn really messed up writing wise towards the end. And just it, like, you can see the cracks a little bit. So I'm like, it's a solid 4. I can't say it's not 4-. It's definitely a great show. It's still the thing I was most excited for between this and Gen V, which we'll talk about shortly. Yeah, solid 4. But I appreciate, like, the 4+ makes, like, I thought about it, but I'm like, it's not elite with this ending. I can't say it is.
It turned me into a believer on the song by the end. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
I was pretty conflicted in the beginning with the new intro song, but by the end of it,
it's so fucking good.
Yeah, it is.
I'll say, I don't know about the cameo of, you know, Foxy Shazam actually being the big cameo on the boat. I was like, okay.
James. Was that supposed to be the big cameo?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, I didn't like, notice.
Okay, James, that's your dream, not our dream.
Yeah.
Happy that you got your favorite band on your television show, but like, you're the only one who wanted that.
Yeah, I had no idea.
So it's such a good song, though. It's always in my head. I think I do like it the most. Between like the season 1 and season 2, I think I like season 2.
Do you really want to taste it?
It's so good. Maybe it's on the same tier. Like, there are two different feels to it, but it works for each season. All right, so let's get into it. Most valuable character. I don't even know where to go here. I have a number one, but it's not a strong number one. I want to know who would you put as most valuable character?
I mean, it's hard not to put Chris as the MVP.
I don't think he is.
If I had somebody else that
MVC,
would be close. MVC, sorry. Probably Adebayo.
Okay.
Once again.
That's what Sapphire said. She said it was Adebayo. I have Harcourt as number one.
Yeah. I can see that too.
I think she's the one who kind of pulled everyone together. She's the one who, like, Adebayo is definitely there. I have a hard time putting Peacemaker as number one because, like, his dumb decisions are kind of what made the season happen, which is usually...
Does that make him the most important character?
Maybe. Like, he's the main he's the main character.
Yeah.
But, like, I wouldn't say he's the most valuable.
He had the most impact on the plot of the show.
By design, as a main character should.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I have hardcore. I think she's the one who kind of put, who got Chris over, and I don't know. But I could see Peacemaker. I could see Ads. I like Economos. Mm-hmm. I mean, Eagly was
the group.
Eagly was my number one for the first six episodes because I'm like, that's the only character I was like, fuck yeah. Eagly got it. Everybody else was like on the same level. So I have hardcore. You have Ads. I don't know if there is really a solid one.
I think it's Peacemaker.
Yeah. I try to like not give the main character this award.
Yeah. I know, but sometimes they do get it.
Yeah, a lot of
biased
times.
If you don't give it to them.
I know. I should. But if hard. Okay. Well, we'll just throw it up. It's just the 11th Street Kids. Minus Vigilante. Even though Vigilante's great.
Yeah, he didn't have as much to do this season, I feel like, in general.
You got to kill
Like, Augie. He did some big things. Yeah, I mean, he definitely did some big things, but I feel like, especially for, like, the first half of the season, it seemed like he just didn't really know what to do with them.
Yeah, which is fine. That happens. Mm. Not every character is useful. MVP, most valuable performer. I do have one in there, but I do I have, like, an honorable mention of, like, three others, as I usually do. Stephen Agui is Economos, fucking brilliant. I think he's great.
She's it.
I have Jennifer Holland as my number three. Amelia Harcourt. I think she did for the most part a really good job. She was a really bad singer at the end. Honestly, surprised that James kind of left it in there because I'm just like, this is bad, James. Like, your wife can't sing.
Yeah, but like, it's more realistic.
It is realistic, but I'm just like,
no,
but
most people can't
like,
sing.
Like, my ears hurt after. I'm like, who decided to leave that in there? James. Just because you love your wife singing doesn't mean we gotta.
I'll listen to her sing.
Will you, though? Because, like, that was bad. That was very
pitchy. Wasn't bad. It wasn't bad enough to where, like, it left an impression on me to where I need to talk about it in a podcast, that's for sure.
Okay, it did for me. I think that's obvious. Number two, I have Tim Meadows, because that dude's fucking great. Like, he's like, he steals the scene every time. I don't know, this random character that we still don't know if there's a bigger story or if he's just furry. He's like the funnest character outside of maybe Vigilante, and of course we get the post-credit scenes of those two together.
Yeah, talking about spiders.
Spider udders. He's like, yeah, tiny little udders. You could buy spider milk, you know? And I'm just like, is he just fucking gaslighting him?
Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm like, he's gaslighting him, right?
No, I think he's just that dumb.
I just love that Vigilante's like, oh yeah, I know everything about all these random animals. And like, he's just wrong the entire time.
Yeah, just knows nothing.
So like, Tim Meadows just being like, yeah, spiders take milk. Yeah, they have tiny little udders. You didn't know that?
Yeah. And spiders fly. Yeah. Make electricity. Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm literally in my head just like, can spiders do this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, am I maybe some really right little now?
Spiders, yeah.
Like, I don't know enough about spiders, but of course, like, do you know your spider facts? I know everything about spiders. And then that's just Vigilante. God, Freddie Stroman definitely needs to be on here. This, like, we forget about him, but I think Freddie Stroman needs to be on here because he just plays Vigilante so well. Like, I don't even, like, his just impressions, it just is, yeah. But John Cena is my number one.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way that he's not the number one. I mean, he crushed it this season.
He really
saw
did.
Levels to a wrestler that you wouldn't think wrestlers could
do. Yeah. You know, he really expressed himself for somebody who's invisible.
Yeah, right. It was good. Amazing you could see all of his emotions.
Yeah, like, he expressed himself that well. MVP was really, really... I think it was cemented by the last scene of this season. Mm. And that's Rick Flag Sr.
Yeah. I don't like, still feel very good about it, though.
I put Keith as number two, and I also put Peacemaker on there because I think like he very much played that role for a lot of different characters. But Rick Flag Sr., I think he cemented himself when he was just like, this is for Ricky, you know, you piece of shit. And then, like, you know, him... you know, blowing crack while all of his people are dying. Like, it was a real villain turn for the character, and it's hard to say if it's well done, but
Definitely was a turn.
definitely was a turn. All right, we're gonna take a quick break and then we're gonna talk Gen V, unless you have anything else about Peacemaker.
I don't think so, right this second.
Quick break it is. Talking Gen V a little bit. Last time we talked Gen V, we talked the first four episodes. Talked about Cypher. Actually, first three episodes, because you were behind.
Yep.
And now we can get into Cypher theory a little bit, which I think is mostly what we want to talk about. Kind of get into five and six. I forget a little bit what four is. I know
Four
four,
is the one
that's
that ends
when.
with them getting arrested again.
Yes.
Getting sent back to Elmira.
Yeah. Oh, or was that five?
Thought that was. Maybe that
Nope,
was
it's five.
five.
Four
That
was
is.
the fight. Four was the
Oh,
fight
four
between
was the
Jordan
fight
and Rainier.
between. Yep. Now I
And
remember.
then Marie has the ability to lift people through the blood. And then Cypher reveals that he's able to essentially control people because he was able to control Jordan. Episode five is where they were trying to, save Kate. They get captured, and then eventually they're able to get out. And then episode six is them, leaving and then finding a friend to help them out and escape from Vigor the Viking.
Yes, Vigor.
Vigor. So that's mostly it. Some big reveals, of course. There's the Godolkin Cypher potentially being Godolkin, Cypher and Sage being a thing. Edgar is thinking that the Odessa Project, Marie, and whatever Godolkin have and whatever's in Cypher's brain is the key to controlling all soups, which really tells me that this is going to be a boys. Like, they're going to merge and that the show is going to have some effect on the boys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even more so. I mean, it already did in the first half with the virus being a pretty big component of the last season of The Boys that was introduced in Gen V.
Yeah, actually, it's like it was introduced and then it was like kind of swiped under the rug. Every season of The Boys is another version of like, how can we kill Homelander? And then it not working with the virus being season four, Soldier Boy being season three. I think
Yeah,
Newman was.
but it wasn't necessarily that the virus didn't work. They didn't try it
Yeah.
yet, and it
Yeah.
and the boys ends with Butcher taking the one sample of the virus they have
Oh,
and
right.
leaving. So,
Yes, fair. Fair.
yeah.
But they weren't able to like use it in season four. Now season five, it seems like there's multiple reasons or multiple ways to kill Homelander, and I would assume that's how the show ends. And apparently there's a scene where Jensen ankles. He talked about how like there was a scene that he did and like he immediately had to walk away because he's just like it was a lot, it was too much, I wasn't expecting that. And then he's like, it's good, you'll like it. But and I'm like, what fucking like thing could like what fucked up
After,
thing
yeah,
is it?
after Herogasm or whatever, because he was
Yeah,
part of that scene, so.
maybe it's just like he died, like a way that he dies or a way that Homelander. I'm guessing that's what
Yeah.
it is. So yeah, I don't have a whole lot to say. It feels like Cypher is definitely the interest of the show. I feel like Cypher kind of makes the show. Not that like the characters aren't interesting, but
I
my
like the
complaint of the
characters.
show is I do and I don't. I like the allegory for, mental illness and each character suffers through that. You have Marie cutting, you have Sam puking. Not Sam. Why
Emma.
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 I'm blanking. Emma blank Emma is the one that's puking. That's how her powers work. Sam's, having illusions, having all these other people as puppets and other
Hallucinations, yeah.
things. Hallucinations, thank you. Kate, is manipulating people. Like you have every you have a lot of different things covered, and I really like that aspect of it. However, like it feels like that's not like the driving force that makes me interested. I think I could watch a series where it's just like the four girls figuring out, you know, their new college. But I really like the idea of Cypher being like, we're going to call the population. We're going to put these heroes to the test so that they can become their best selves. And I like that version of the character. I really like that villain. I think he's interesting. We got a lot of reveals the last two episodes. One or last three episodes, because he was able to control Jordan. And then we get the body. Sage is all about, you know, being over Cypher. And then the body, the dad or whatever he is watching. And we haven't really got the reveal between like that body and Cypher, what we know of Cypher. Yes.
Theory.
Yes.
I think it's pretty obvious.
I think it is too. I was getting into that.
Yeah.
All right.
You go ahead.
Okay. So my theory is that it seems like Gadolkin survived. This is Gadolkin. He's Cypher. And it seems like he either, one, is able to take other people's... He's able to take over a consciousness of another person. And it seems like he's able to use their power with that. So he's either figured out a way to control Cypher, who can control other people, or he's just, that's his super ability, is he can just control people by sight.
I think it might be more than that.
Okay, cool.
I think he can just control people in general, and that Gadolkin is the frail burnt victim, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, Cypher is just a pawn, and it's actually Gadolkin controlling him.
Yeah.
And controlling people through Cypher.
Yes.
That's why he doesn't have any V in his blood, because he's not actually a soup.
It seems like he's the main guy.
Yeah. Because I don't think he has to see people in order to control them. Well, maybe through Cypher's eyes.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like, he has to see through it. Like, he himself has to have that perspective, and then he can control people. Because he can't just control people. Wait.
But then how is he controlling Cypher from being in the bed when he's not around?
Because he's able to establish that connection. And once he has that connection, then he has that body. So when Cypher goes and he can see people through Cypher, then he can control people through Cypher.
Okay, so exactly what I was saying.
Yeah. Okay. We're in agreement.
Okay. I feel like we're not agreeing for some reason.
I think you're thinking we're not agreeing, but I'm like, what you're saying is what I'm essentially saying. I'm just thinking like maybe there's a twist in there where maybe the Gadolkin isn't super powered, but he has the ability to control other people and their powers. Because, like, Vigor still has the ability of Vigor, right? Polarity, we don't see him use the Polarity. But that's another thing that, like, because Jordan was able to use her powers. Vigor is able to use his powers. Cypher might be able to use his powers. Polarity was able to break away because he used his powers in the moment to break away and, like,
I almost got a feeling that was like a new power or something like that he unlocked.
From Polarity?
Yeah, that was kind of the vibe I was getting, was that it was like something different. Because Cypher was obviously caught off guard by it. He wasn't expecting him to blast him out of the room like that. Yeah. And I mean, that's not really magnetism, right? Like, just straight up, I mean, maybe he had like a belt or something on him.
Well, he was like pushing, it seems like he was pulling Cypher in and pulled him away. I mean, there's the name, it's his blood.
Yeah, but I feel like, but even still, I feel like that would have been something that, if that he was able to do that the whole time, maybe that would have been more of his power set before.
I like it.
Like, it seems pretty powerful, to like be able to control people, essentially.
Maybe that's what that moment is. Polarity and being awakened and
unlocking more potential. I mean, that's kind of what Cypher said he's trying to do anyways.
Mm-hmm. With like Marie. So that makes sense. How do you feel about the cameos with Sage, now Stan Edgar and Newman's daughter?
So like the Starlight one in the beginning felt pretty forced, whatever. Sage, that kind of
makes sense.
Yeah, like I'm not mad about that. The Stan Edgar, I was actually pretty hyped when I saw that. I love Juan Carlo Esposito.
He's great.
Having him back in.
And the Newman daughter makes sense.
Character. Yep, reintroducing his character like as like this. Because like she got him out of jail and stuff like that. So it makes sense that he'd be doing something. And to kind of see this other side of like this. And he's just like, yeah, I'm going to retake Vought kind of thing. Like, okay. I found that really interesting. And I'm really curious to see what he's going to do. Because obviously he's a big player.
I like it. Okay, so I like it from the boy standpoint. I like that he's coming back. And I think like, okay, maybe you don't fit in the boy season 5, but you're able to sit in Gen V. I think my only complaint is like Gen V now can't survive on its own.
Yeah, but it was never, I don't know. I never believed that it was its own thing to begin with. It was always culminating to the boys. I don't think it was ever meant to be its own thing, even if it felt like that a little bit in the first season, had those moments. Mm-hmm. And it can have things that stand alone. But we're talking about such like at this point, like the story and the boys, that there's no way that what's happening in the boys isn't affecting the whole world and every other story going on.
Yeah.
Like with Homelander taking over and stuff like that, to where like it wouldn't be possible for them to just like, we would be really disappointed if this was just another season of them getting into college antics and maybe some little small conspiracy that they stumble upon and it has no revelation to the bigger world whatsoever. I think that would be extremely disappointing.
I agree. It just feels forced. Maybe this is because of the Starlight one felt so forced that I was just like, and I also just hate like all these characters that come in the Marie and like, you're important. And like,
yeah,
we don't see the importance yet. Like, I think like,
well, I think we did see the importance now.
Yeah. But it's being ham fisted. Like, it's very much like, she's important. You got to know why she's important. And it's like, I don't need Stan Edgar telling us that she's important. I don't think we need Stan Edgar telling Marie that she's important. I think like that's been elaborated already, but you have all these characters that are like stating such, and it's like, we haven't seen it.
We did see it though. She brought somebody back to life.
But we don't know why that's important. We don't know why
we don't know why that's important?
Like, it seems like they're constantly teasing some big moment, either at the end of Gen V or the boys. And it just feels very on the nose. Like, I don't like when characters like, oh, you're important before they're important. Like, I want to talk about like I don't want characters to talk about potential and act as like the way to tell the audience that, hey, Marie's important. She's more important than everybody else. It's just, I want to see it. I don't need
I get that, but at the same time, I don't know how else. Like, so what, they like run away and just like hide on their own forever, and then eventually maybe she decides on her own that she needs to do more and try to figure it out, and then by then Homelander has destroyed the whole country and nothing matters anymore. It's kind of like, it's a desperation thing. This is why people are seeking her out, while they're looking for her, because as far as they're concerned, this is the last chance to try to stop what Homelander is doing.
And that's what the boys do. I think it just feels off for me. And maybe like we get to the end of season 2 and there is some story element that's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And I find these moments more forgiving. It's just the fact that
he hinted at like that she could fix people with like bad powers too, like down to like that molecular level, to like get rid of people's weaknesses almost, kind of thing.
Yeah.
To where like, obviously that would be powerful. Like, there's so many people that have like crazy powers that just can't use them because of one reason or another. Even just like Polarity, for example, like if she could fix that, the problem with his brain, then he could use his powers to like their fullest potential without worrying about it. Or Kate. Yeah. So like, that I think is the side. And obviously they want her to heal Godolkin, because he can control heroes. He could just control Homelander probably.
Could be. Episode 6 ends with Kate asking Marie to heal her, and where he's just like, nah, but they go to confront Cypher.
But yeah, I don't think she didn't really say no. She just said, like, all right, come with me and we'll see what happens, kind of thing.
Oh, I guess.
Glad I got. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm just reading this Wikipedia. And they're like, refuses. Oh, God, I didn't remember that, but I read it.
Yeah, I don't remember her refusal. Maybe, like, she's saying no to, like, staying or, like, trying to fix her right in that moment. But
yeah,
she let her come to us, so I assume that she's going to try.
I assume, too. I'm curious where it goes. I guess, like, just from a narrative standpoint, this might be a personal thing. I just prefer characters to find their importance rather than being told that they're important and then proving it. And that's a me thing. I think there's a way, there's a better way to go about it. I don't mind the overall plot of the series. I don't mind Sid and Edgar coming. It's just some of the dialogue. It just feels, I'm not a fan of that type of dialogue. It feels too forced. But that's a me thing. Okay. For the sake of keeping this short, and we're going to have a lot more to talk about in 2 weeks when this show ends, what do you have for ratings? I think I'm still in the same boat, the four category, maybe four
minor. Yeah, I'd say my hype for the show, I'd give it at least a four. I don't know if I'd go much higher than that, but I don't think I'd go any lower either.
Yeah, I said four minus. I was at a four last time. I think Cypher makes the show at the moment. I think he's like my excitement, and like I'm curious where we're going with it, and like the connection of Gen V. I just wish I was more excited about the characters that we're watching. I feel like those, like Peacemaker and Gen V, are two opposite shows. I feel like Peacemaker is all about those, the characters growing, whereas like Gen V seems like the plot is moving the characters along with it. So like when we get to like MVC and MVVs thus far, I only have one answer for both, and that's Cypher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I wrote...
I mean, I have...
I wrote Marie a second, but I put in parentheses begrudgingly, because I'm like, I hate the fact that we keep... Like, she's important. Watch how important she is. It's like, cool. Yep, yep, yep. Main character energy. We already knew.
Hmm. Maybe I just watch too much anime, and that kind of stuff doesn't bother me as much.
That's fair. Speaking of anime, I do have something to talk about. Well, we can talk about it a little bit. I started watching an anime. And I'm sorry, it's not the one that you asked me to watch. It's the one that's probably the most obvious for me to watch. You can take one guess of what anime is probably the most obvious one for me to start watching.
Is it My Hero Academia?
It is.
God damn it. It it has moments that are so good in that show, but it also has a lot of less good stuff, like long arcs that kind of drag for a while. And then it gets really good, and then it gets like super good, and then it slows way down again for a little bit. And then, I don't know, it's a good anime overall. It's definitely a good anime. But as far as... As far as shows that you could choose to watch, it wouldn't have been the first one I put on your list, even though it's like a hero thing. It is really interesting to see like Japanese interpretation of like heroes and like how they make like their superheroes and stuff like that, especially with like their different powers and stuff like that. It's interesting. It's very different to like how American heroes and stuff are portrayed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wouldn't have been the one I picked for you to watch.
No, you've already...
But I'm so glad you're watching something. Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, I could probably update that list. No.
I'm on season 2. I think the last episode I watched was episode 7. Deku is with his apprenticeship? His intern? Like, he's an intern now. And I actually fell asleep and I woke up and that was like what I watched and then I fell asleep again. So I really don't know where I'm at. It's like episode 27. I'm in season 2 so far. Just finished the big tournament arc. Good show. I'm enjoying it. I would say it's not One Piece. It's not like...
No.
I have some issues with it, but I think overall...
It has moments that, especially later on, that it'd be like, okay, like, damn, this is what a hero is. That kind of thing. But, yeah. It also has a lot of downtime.
All right. Well, thank you, Meme. We will talk tonight when we roll for the end. And yes. Hopefully we get a good product. If we do, you'll see some promotional entertainments coming on that channel. So we'll see. All right. Thank you, everybody. This is your host, Jake, signing off with Meme. And we are out. If I can stop it. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. We're stuck here forever.
What the fuck is going on today?
It's got to be Riverside then.
Okay. I'm just going to leave and we can jump on
Discord.
Yeah.